Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 6 of week number 49, studying Luke's Gospel. As we get started in today's broadcast, these reminders. Our free materials are always available by clicking on the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. You can access all of these IGH 260 broadcasts by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. A program update. Remember, starting in 2020, this IGH 260 series will transition to an exclusive online platform and then be known as the 260 Project. To keep up with this ongoing study in the new year, visit the 260 Project website at the260project.org. That's the word the, followed by the number 260, the word project.org. The260project.org. Go to that site for links to all of our social media pages and to sign up to receive the weekly The 260 Project newsletter. We hope that you can join us in 2020 as we continue this study of every chapter in the New Testament. Let's get back into our study of Luke's Gospel. But first this, remember what God says. Throughout Scripture, God says, here's where you are, here's where you need to be. Move. That divine directive, that divine expectation, can be found throughout the New Testament. It's summed up in these three words, faith, repentance, baptism. Each of those three words entails a beginning place, a starting place that never ends. Biblical saving faith, for example, in order for it to be what God wants it to be, it will always move in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith, biblical saving faith, that kind of faith never stops. Repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, according to what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, once repentance starts, it never stops. And finally, baptism, our death to self and our death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ's initial obedience. Baptism has never been a one-time, one-off, singular act of faithful obedience. Baptism has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, our daily death to self and our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot be what God wants us to be and what God expects us to be without these modeling Jesus elements. Are you, are we, am I modeling Jesus today? Let's return to our study of the delivered principle that we see introduced in Luke chapter 1. As we surveyed the New Testament's teaching about this principle, we noted that there are at least 5 generations, 5 transfers of the gospel message. Those generational transfers start with God the Father, and they end with others also, the language that Paul used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here are the 5 generational transfers that we have introduced and that we continue to explore. The first generation, from God the Father to God the incarnate Son, that is, from God the Father to Jesus. The second generation, from Jesus the Messiah to his apostles. The third generation, from Jesus' apostles to men like Timothy and to men like Luke. The fourth generation, from men like Timothy and Luke, to faithful men like Theophilus. And finally, the fifth generation, from faithful men like Theophilus to others also. Let's think some more about that third generational transfer of God's message from the apostles to the next generation of believers, including men like Luke and Timothy, and to all who heard and who responded to the apostles' teaching. We noted earlier that the text of Acts chapter 2, either as Peter was preaching explicitly in that context, or through what Luke the writer said in that context, that the text of that chapter, Acts 2, frequently notes that Peter's message originated with God and not with Peter or anyone else. Some in the religious world seem to have the idea that apostles had authority beyond what Christ, beyond what the Spirit, and beyond what the Scriptures ascribed to them. Yes, the apostles were chosen by Christ. And yes, the apostles were empowered by the Spirit to preach and to teach and to show signs and miracles. And yes, Scripture certainly chronicles who the apostles were and what the apostles did. But even in light of these three elements, the apostles were restricted in what they could do. We underscore only one of those restrictions in order to make a point. When Jesus was traveling in the region of Caesarea Philippi with the apostles, Jesus asked them first who others thought that he was. See Matthew 16, verses 13 and 14. And then second, Jesus asked the apostles who they thought that he was. Matthew 16, 15. It was in response to that second question that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 16. Here's how Jesus responded to Peter's answer. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." That's Matthew 16, verses 17 through 19. What Jesus said to Peter teaches, at least, the following three principles. First, it tells us that Peter's understanding of Jesus' identity, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, had its roots in God's revelation. Second, this passage informs us that the church that Jesus would build would not only not be overcome by evil, but that it would itself overcome evil. And third, and most important for our present study, Jesus addressed what Peter would be given. Peter would be given the keys of the kingdom. This keys of the kingdom illustration might sound like Peter and the rest of the apostles. Jesus, by the way, said something similar to all of the apostles two chapters later in Matthew's gospel. See Matthew 18, verse 18. It might sound like the apostles were given unlimited authority to teach whatever they wanted to teach. That's not true. And we can see that that's not true in at least two ways. First, it violates the keys of the kingdom analogy itself. If I give you the keys to my house, you have the right, that is, the means, to enter my house with those keys. But you do not have the right, that is, the means, to enter just any house that you want to with those keys. Furthermore, the right to enter my house does not give you the authority to do whatever you want to do in my house or whatever you want to do to my house. Having the keys to my house, while they definitely allow you access, do not necessarily give you the freedom to do what you want to do. Second, the text of Matthew 16, when best translated, shows that there were limits to what the apostles were allowed to teach. The translation that we cited earlier reads as follows, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus told Peter that whatever Peter bound or loosed on earth would be bound or loosed in heaven. That makes it sound like that whatever Peter decided to preach and teach would be given divine approval after the fact. Think about that for a moment. What if Peter decided, for whatever reason, to preach that Jesus was not the Son of God? Would Peter receive divine approval for that message after he preached it? Would God back up just anything that Peter taught? No, absolutely not. How then are we to understand what Jesus said to Peter? To answer that, consider these translations. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. A second one, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. A third, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. These are just three examples of translations that capture the authority behind apostolic preaching, meaning the authority that precedes apostolic preaching. What Peter would teach, either what Peter would bind or what Peter would loose, had already been bound or had already been loosed in heaven. What Peter preached was ordained and planned before Peter preached it. We will not take the time right now to explain the context of this next passage, but think about what Paul said to the churches of Galatia. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, verse 8. Paul, though he was a divinely appointed apostle, something that he really emphasized in the opening chapters of the Galatian letter, Paul, even as an apostle, would never think about preaching something different than the message that he was given to preach. No one had the right to preach something different. Not Paul, not Peter, not any apostle, not an angel from heaven, not anyone. In fact, Paul, to emphasize that restrictive principle, repeated what he said in the following verse. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verse 9. What we need to understand about the preaching of the apostles, it's really quite simple. They were authorized to preach just what Jesus taught them. Nothing more, nothing less, no changes or substitutions allowed. And what Jesus taught them was just what the Heavenly Father taught him. Remember what Jesus said at the end of John chapter 8, verse 28. As my Father taught me, I speak these things. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Luke's Gospel. These reminders as we conclude, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.